13th Sunday, Year A, Ordinary Time. First reading, the second book of Kings, chapter 4, verse 8. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small roof chamber with walls, and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." One day he came there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" Gehazi answered, "Well, she has no son, and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, "At this season, when the time comes around, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." Reading 2, Romans 6, verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet because he is a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Theme: hospitality and charity. In the nations of the ancient Near East, when a traveler who missed a trip or visits a friend from afar, the household that he visits must receive him or her with hospitality and eagerness. Today, many people are afflicted by individualism and selfishness. Therefore, they are reluctant to receive any visitor into their house and have no patience to wait for their visitor to leave if they've received him. Some even use tricks by beating their dog or cat, or by blaming their children as a sign to tell their visitor to leave as soon as possible. But many question, what is the limit of hospitality? There is a Vietnamese maxim that can be used as a guide in receiving a guest into one's house. Love other as you wish to be loved. How we want to be treated at our friend's house, we should treat our visitor as such. Moreover, when we treat others generously, God shall compensate us 100-fold. Many new disciple authors recommended the faithful to practice and to possess this virtue. Today's readings show us some examples of receiving a visitor with hospitality and the good results that came with it. In the first reading, the Shunammite woman generously received Elisha, though she did not actually know who he was. She not only served him and his servants a meal, but also made a room for them with every necessity, with every necessary thing when they stopped by. Touched by her hospitality, the prophet Elisha used God's power to grant her a son in her old age. In the second reading, St. Paul advised the faithful, since Christ treated us as important guests, we must respond by eliminating all our evil habits in his death, so that we shall also be resurrected with him in glory. In the gospel, Christ requires his disciples to sacrifice, to give up their wills, and to carry their cross to follow him. They must also open their hands widely to receive and to help everyone in need, because when they are doing so for others, they do it for him. Analysis reading 1. At this season, when the time comes around, you shall embrace a son. The hospitality of the Shunammite woman, as mentioned in the introductory, hospitality is a special quality of the nations of the ancient Near East. This character is mentioned many times in the Old Testament. For example, Abraham welcomed three guests at Mamre. Lot welcomed two of God's angels at Sodom. The Zarephath woman received the prophet Elijah. In the New Testament, to illustrate the importance of hospitality, Jesus used the story of the man who must awaken during the night to give bread to his friend. One of the reasons why people must always be hospitable is that they will probably receive God's messengers who God sent to them, but they didn't know it, and they don't know. Moreover, if the faithful reads the message of Matthew chapter 25, he knows hospitality is the standard which God shall use to judge people. The Shunammite woman is rich. She not only served food for Elisha every time when he passed by Shunammite, but also made him a private room to sleep. The way she said this to her husband showed her deep hospitality for him. Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small roof chamber with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. Her hospitality was deservedly compensated. Recognizing her hospitality for him, the prophet Elisha used the power which God gave to him by granting her a son during the old age of both her and her husband. He announced to her the good news. At this season, when the time comes around, you shall embrace a son. We know this is not impossible for God, who created the world, and he has the power to do all things. Reading 2. You also must consider yourselves dead in sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The meaning of baptism. According to St. Paul, the sacrament of baptism has two main acts. When one is immersed in water, one is buried with Christ, and when one rises from water, he is resurrected with him. He also explains further about these two acts. When the faithful are immersed in water, they let go their own man. They let go their own man with all sins and wicked passions. When they arise from water, they put on Christ with his holiness and grace and full of his graces. Since Christ sacrificially died to sanctify us, we must also die for him. Death here is not understood physically, but it means death for sins and all evil habits in us. Moreover, it is not only to stop sinning, we must also practice virtues. If we don't do that, the former sins shall gradually appear, and we shall return to the past life when we didn't receive the sacrament of before we received the sacrament of penance. The faithful must respond to Christ's sacrificial love. If one receives a favor, he must return a favor. The faithful not only received a favor, but a critical favor to be lived forever. Therefore, the faithful must not let Christ's sacrificial love for him become ineffective. Only the opposite. He must try to practice virtues so that he gradually becomes the same image in holiness with him. The progress to become holy. The faithful isn't working by himself because he is given the other Paraclete, the Holy Spirit and his seven gifts. The Holy Spirit can guide him to recognize all truth, give him strength to overcome the weakness of his flesh, and protect him from all dangers. The important thing for the faithful is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to produce good for him and for all people. Therefore, St. Paul advised the faithful, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Gospel. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. A disciple must love God more than all other people. Why does God require us to love him above all, parents, husband, wife, and children? The simple reason is because he loves us more than all these people. God has not only created our soul and body and the world for us to live, he also gave us his only son to die for our sins, so that we can inherit the eternal life with him forever. God compared his immense love with the parental love when he said, "Though your parents can forsake you, I shall never forsake you." Many people, after feeling God's immense love, cried out, "Verily, no one loves me as God." The history of the Old Testament is full of examples of people who sacrificed their lives for God, such as Elisha gave up his parents to become God's prophets. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son Isaac for God. Hannah offered her only son Samuel to serve God in his temple. And Zephtha, the judge, kept his promise to God by sacrificing his daughter. The real love requires us to show action, not only words. Saint Andrew Fuyen, though still young, deeply felt God's love for him, spoke these words before he became a martyr. We must take love to return love, life to return life. There is a contradiction between God's and the human lifestyle and standards. While people try to protect their life at all cost, Jesus taught, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He also gives us the example, truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Therefore, if a man dies to self so he can live to others, that man really lives and bears many profits for himself and others. But if one selfishly lives only for himself, he shall be lonely and become no help for others. The Christians must have hospitality and charity. Jesus listed three kinds of people which Christians must receive them with hospitality. 1. Jesus identifies himself as a disciple. The Greek verb dekome has many meanings. The basic meaning is to receive or to accept if it is for a thing or a message. If it is for a person, the verb means to welcome a person with hospitality. To receive a person is different with to receive a thing. To receive a person is different from receiving a thing because a person has dignity and must be treated adequately with human dignity. Jesus reveals to us an important truth. He who receives you receives me. The disciple is the one who is officially sent by Christ. According to a diplomatic way, he who receives the disciple or his message is to receive Christ himself. In the opposite, he who refuses to receive the disciple or his message is to deny Christ himself. Jesus continues to explain further, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Christ is sent by God and equal to him. Therefore, who receives the disciple is to receive God himself. Jesus identifies himself as a prophet and is righteous. Some people ask me, if I support the work you are doing, what profits can we get back? This is the answer from Jesus today. He who receives a prophet because he is a religious man shall receive a righteous man's reward. More concretely, if the prophet saved a soul, the one who has helped the prophet to have the mean also share in the reward of saving a soul. Jesus identifies himself with a poor man. Lastly, Jesus abbreviates the Christian basic charity as follows. And whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. We cannot do anything for God because he has everything, but he counts all things which we do for others who are in need, as to do for him. In chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus explained this meaning in the clearest way. Application in life. We should learn the ancient hospitality to welcome and to care carefully for our visitors who stop and stay in our house. Don't let anybody who visited us once and never came back Don't let anybody who visited us once and never came back to us the second time. Don't let anyone who has visited us once not want to come back to visit us the second time. Christ died for us and went before us to prepare for us a place in his Father's house, and will return to take us so that wherever he is, we shall be with him. We should return his love and work deservedly by living a holy life and loving all people. Whatever we do for others, God counts as we do for him. We should open our mind and hands to help and to sacrifice for others. Let's do these with a great and true love.